Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Here at Bob, if we immediately connected, you will recall, the Iraqi Abu Ghraib prison scandal to America's culture. That's the connection we made immediately. Other talk radio hosts have climbed on board in the last few days, and at least in conservative circles, there's a willingness to consider how our immoral culture makes America more vulnerable to the immoral acts of our own citizens. Yesterday, a tremendous article on WorldNet Daily made the point so well. The column by Robert Knight is titled, "Iraq Scandal is the Perfect Storm of American Culture." Robert Knight, director of the CWA affiliate Culture and Family Institute. Robert, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, and I hope your article gets read widely, Robert. We encourage our audience to check it out at worldnetdaily.com.
I'll tell you what, it is getting out there because I've received a lot of people praising it and
condemning it.
Also people not praising it.
Yeah. Well, let's let the audience know the connection. You list in here a few things that we've been told, that putting women into combat was progressive, that pornography is liberating, and that homosexuality is harmless. And just like that movie, The Perfect Storm, where these factors come into play to cause devastation, what's going on in Iraq?
Well, what we have here is the perfect scandal, the perfect storm of American cultural trends that have been very bad in and of themselves. But when you pile them all in one place, you get an explosion like this. Mm. We're putting women in harm's way near combat zones, and certainly in a prison in charge of male prisoners is just in a very traditional culture that doesn't share our values. Is just ask. Mm. I believe it's wrong to put women in combat under any conditions other than, you know, defending the home, because it's not progressive, it's barbaric. We should be protecting the bearers of life and acknowledge that women and men are differently created, equal but different. And the feminists and liberals have walked us down that garden path. Mm-hmm. They've also told us pornography is harmless.
Well, Robert,
we've allowed our military to have
To sell pornography
all over the place.
Right, exactly. Robert, if we could stick with the women in combat first.
Sure.
It's the role of the man is to be the provider and protector of the women in his life, including his mother, his wife, his sisters, his daughters.
And any woman out there, really. All men should take responsibility.
Exactly. And so the feminists, of course, have a very bad self-image and self-esteem, and they feel like unless they act like men, they're not worthy.
Isn't that funny that they try to lift women up by making them just like men?
Yeah, even young...
Does anybody question that?
Right. Even young girls in school, they tell them, well, you should be able to go out for the boys' football team.
Right.
Why? So that they could be humiliated? Boys and girls are different, and to lie to millions of young women and say if you don't act like a man, you're not worth it, then what a tragedy. And we see the results, of course.
Well, we have. Look at Lindy England over there, you know, being photographed with these Iraqi prisoners. And then now it's come out that it wasn't just so-called intelligence gathering, that Lindy and other U.S. soldiers engaged in sex together in orgies.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
It's really gotten worse and worse.
And videoed it and photographed it. So now this women in combat, it's a God-given responsibility to men to protect the women in our families and our society, in our country. And so we should do that. Of course, are scared to death of a simple statement like that because they put out this lie that men and women are the same and that any differences are culturally instilled.
Well, this is why their sacrament is abortion, because the fact that women have children still irks them, because it does make career prospects different. It does make women different in terms of needs and abilities. We're so different and God created us that way to complement each other that they just can't stand it. They're really angry at God overall. That's what this is all about. But for our society to let it go this far,
right,
and enter this insanity is what it is.
Right. In America, we have feminized things like rush hour traffic. We've feminized bankruptcies. We feminized the jails so that women now are about as miserable and self-destructive as our men. We feminized suicide. And so feminizing combat, what should happen is that even on the front line in our police forces, if you're expected possibly to go into combat or hand-to-hand fighting with the bad guys, that should be the responsibility of the men. And we should be protecting women so that America should teach the rest of the world that women should not be in combat.
Well, yeah, it cheapens human life when you're thinking about it because women are the bearers of life. And we're saying that, you know, families aren't important. The individual is the sole important element in society. This is the heartbeat of liberalism, the idea of individual self-determination, regardless of anything else, including moral standards that transcend one person thinks about it.
And
this goes to the highest levels of our society. You look at the U.S. Supreme Court in the Casey decision with that sweet mystery of life passage that Justice Anthony wrote, in which he basically said we all have the right to declare what's right and wrong and the meaning of the universe and so forth. Now, that's completely different from our founders' understanding that we have the right to freely discover what God has created and God's system of right and wrong. And we may go different ways, but that doesn't change that there is a transcendent reality of right and wrong that we can't change regardless of our opinion.
Right.
And the court is awash in moral relativism.
And a higher authority than our founders even is God himself and his word, the word of God, whereas maybe Thomas Jefferson wanted to put out his own Bible and did a lot of cutting up of the New Testament. God has revealed right and wrong in his word. And so for some subdivision of government to think that they should have the right to legalize the killing of an unborn child, let's say, or to legalize stealing from your neighbor under the guise of high taxes, there are things that are absolutely wrong. And our Supreme Court seems to become a legal positivist court where if the law says it, then that's fine.
Yeah, if a previous court said it, they don't even look at the Constitution anymore. They look at case law. And of course, case law is made up of decisions by judges. And if a judge goes off the pier like they did in Massachusetts saying that the marriage law is unconstitutional, could not find a single rational basis for having marriage as the union of a man and a woman, then you get the next court come along and say, oh, well, this has been decided. Now we have to impose this on everybody.
Well,
we've really lost the sense of self-determination as a people.
Well,
Robert, have to recover that.
I'd like to ask you maybe a tough question. About obviously, our society has legalized all forms of sexual immorality that had been crimes for thousands of years, through Moses to Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and for sort of Judeo-Christian history and culture. Sexual immorality was not only a sin; it was also against the law.
Yeah, it sure was.
And now,
when you committed adultery, you violated your marriage vow. And that was considered an offense against the state as well because marriage is so important. It does hurt other people when you do that.
Right. And now we have no-fault divorce where we might as well have no-fault business contracts.
Yeah, let's call that unilateral divorce.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is because if one partner's dissatisfied, they just leap out of a marriage easier than you can get out of a simple contract.
Right, right.
And that leaves the other person with no rights at all.
So if you've entered into a contract with a boss and it's for $15 an hour, neither party can violate it without potential legal repercussions. But if you've entered into a contract that involves a lifetime commitment, children, grandchildren, a home, an estate, our government now says, well, no-fault divorce. You can just get out of the contract.
That's right. And this is why gay marriage is such a threat to the whole society. I'm often asked, you know, why does it hurt your marriage? You know, who's it going to hurt if two gays get married? Well, it's never just about two individuals. You're talking about marriage being a public act. The reason we care about putting it in the law is it has enormous consequences for everyone. It's the uniting of two families. It's how kinship patterns are established. It's how family names are handed down. Right. It's how aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters are created. It's the glue, the heartbeat of society.
Well, and
so when you have two people say, well, we feel like we're married, and therefore the law ought to change to suit us, you're tossing a firebomb right into the most important institution in the culture, well, and saying it's no longer the union of two families, a man and a woman. You're saying creating children is now irrelevant, that sexual desire is the single component that matters.
Well, Robert, I want to try to push on some of the causes of these problems. Now, you just said reasons against homosexual marriage, why we should oppose it as public policy.
I have other reasons, too.
Okay, what's
that it would be imposed on everybody as an understanding.
Well, what's the main reason that homosexual marriage should be against the law?
Okay, first, it's homosexual marriage is wrong because homosexuality is wrong.
Exactly.
The state has no business putting incentives in the law to keep people trapped in sin and to tell them it's good and healthy.
Yeah,
that's your government working against
you. Okay, now that's the main reason that homosexual marriage should not be codified in law, because homosexuality is destructive. And you know what I wish? I wish more Christian leaders would get that message out, because our Christian political conservative leaders are scared to death to say that.
Well, they are. They bought into this liberal idea that you're intolerant if you say something is right or wrong. Mm. And they seem to be more afraid of man than of what God thinks of them. And God's very clear in his word about homosexuality. On our website, CWFA.org, that stands for Concerned Women for America, we have two documents that I think are very useful in these debates. Well, we have a lot of them, but in terms of theology, there's one. Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality, did he? And then it answers that that charge or that question. The other is just a list of all the biblical references regarding homosexuality and tying them together between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Well, and we have today our... Let me ask you a question. If we were to look at the public statements of, say, 20 of our largest Christian leaders, conservative Christian influential leaders, would we be able to find statements that the decriminalization of sexual crimes is a good thing? That
no.
Sexual... Well, I think
no one would say that. They realized that when the sodomy laws came off the books, it triggered the AIDS epidemic, and it also gave the signal that any law regarding sex is now subject to challenge. As Senator Santorum warned. We got polygamists in court citing the Lawrence case now.
All right. Well, I have a bit of a different perspective on that than you. For example, pornography. I've been on the air for 13 years now, and we've noticed that no major Christian ministries call for the recriminalization of pornography. They don't teach the public that pornography should be criminal, that it's so destructive that it's not only a sin, the sexual exploitation of women should not be legal.
Well, it's also the slavery of men, because men get addicted to it just like a drug.
Right, but let me give you an...
It destroys their lives as well.
Robert Knight's excellent article is at worldnetdaily.com. Iraq scandal is the perfect storm of American culture. But, Robert, we had Morality and Media on this show maybe a year ago.
Folks.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're the largest religious ministry against pornography. And we had
But Concerned Women for America is right up there, too. We've got Dan LaRue, who's probably the top, one of the top two litigators against pornography, and she's written extensively about the effects of pornography.
Exactly.
We've been at John Ashcroft with personal meetings and everything, saying, why don't you enforce the laws on the books?
Well,
they have not done so.
Robert, but let me tell you what Bob Peters, the president of Morality and Media, said on this show.
Uh-huh.
We talked about how the laws have changed in the Judeo-Christian standard of sexual immorality being criminal, not only a sin but actually a crime. All that's been changed by the humanists and homosexuals and Hollywood. And so now we've legal pornography, adultery, all forms of sexual immorality. And we want to draw some arbitrary line with legalized sexual immorality. And we say, but here's a new line. Now don't cross that one. And so I asked him, Bob Peters of Morality and Media, would you stand with Denver Bible Church calling for someday the recriminalization of pornography.
And what did Bob say?
He said no. And his reason is they try to stop obscenity, but as far as pornography is concerned, they believe in free speech. And they're pro-choice on pornography.
Oh, I can't believe Bob said that.
Well,
he was a pornography addict himself.
Robert, I know that, but I'm suggesting to you.
Sure, he wasn't just saying what's possible.
No.
That's a little different.
In fact, I'm saying this publicly now, so I'd like to challenge you to contact him, and we need a discussion among Christian leaders about why is it that we have forgotten that adultery was a crime for 3,500 years, and it was only legalized recently. And we think we could now enforce some arbitrary boundary. Once you legalize adultery, everything is going to go. Pornography, incest, bestiality, homosexuality, gay marriage, homosexual
multiple
adoption.
Partner marriage.
What's that?
Polygamy.
Yeah, polygamy. Once you legalize adultery, you cannot any longer enforce some artificial boundary for sexual immorality. And the Christian leadership in America has fully consented to the legalization of adultery. They've not taught their people that historically adultery was a crime, and biblically it wasn't only a sin, it was a crime.
So you think we should start with reforming the adultery laws or bringing them back rather than going at symptoms like pornography?
Well, we got to fight the war on every front that confronts us. So we have to take these Christians in the pews, and our Christian leaders don't even know that adultery was a crime. They don't even know it, because I've been talking about this on the air in Denver for 12 years. With the frustration of Christians calling in and saying, well, these things are just sins, and we have to be tolerant, and pornography is a right of free speech. That's what Christians have told me on the air for 13 years.
Hard to believe they don't know that freedom of speech involves ideas, not smut.
Right.
I mean, it really is that simple. You can convey any idea without being indecent or obscene.
Right.
We need to do is we have to start by demanding that they enforce the obscenity laws, which are on the books. They've been upheld by the courts. 90% of the stuff out there is illegal, and they could act on it right now without any change.
All right, and here's why they
the will
Robert,
to do it.
Here,
and then we got to go further.
Robert, wait. Robert, let me
set their own moral standards.
Let me challenge what you just said. We have to start by enforcing the obscenity laws. If our Christian leaders are accepting, they're tolerant of Playboy and Penthouse, there's no way you're going to get a secular government to enforce other pornography laws. If the Christian leaders accept Penthouse, which they do, and they all do.
They don't all do that.
Dr.
Dobson personally thinks it's all poison.
Poison, but not criminal. Focus on the Family has been very careful to call for the government to fight against obscenity and child pornography.
Right, because they're
but
basing
that's it.
Their call on what's legal now.
What
the government can actually do
apart
from changing the laws.
No, what's legal now is killing children. And in some places, homosexuals to get married. You don't go by what's legal now, you go by what's right. And my point is the Christian leaders in America think that pornography should be legal. That's what they think.
I sure don't. Don't count me among them.
Well, I'm a bird.
I would allow a small town to kick Playboy and Penthouse right out of the, local grocery, saying that we have different standards here. You can take this to Los Angeles or New York, but, in Pottstown, PA, we're not going to allow this.
Well, Robert, we had Dennis Kucinich on this program about 3 weeks ago. That
must have been interesting.
The Democrat running for, John Kerry now has the nominee, but
right.
He's been in the race the whole time. And I just picked one issue out of the air to talk with him, and that was with the porn industry. We only talk about the porn industry maybe once a month on this show, but not even that perhaps. But I said, OSHA, where's OSHA? Why don't they care when women in the porn industry, in order to get their paycheck, have to subject themselves to the most deadly, dangerous actions? And he had said, wow, I never thought about that before. The next, what happened that day?
Of course he hasn't, because they're all for pornography.
Yeah, right.
And abortion. They don't care if the abortion clinics have no standards,
right.
Medical standards, as any clinic would have.
Right. Girls die in abortion clinics, right. But, Robert, the day that we did that interview, that day is when the first porn star in Hollywood found out he was HIV positive. And 3 days later, the news broke that the Hollywood porn industry was shutting down for 2 weeks because three of their actors came down with HIV. Now a fourth has been announced. And so
I think it's up to six.
Up to six now. Yeah. But our government allows women, if a nurse at a hospital had to subject herself to that kind of danger to get her paycheck, the whole media and the government would come down on that person. But our conservative Christian leaders in government, why don't they try to protect the women in the porn industry who have to accept bodily fluids into their body from other people in order to get check? Why do Christian leaders tolerate the porn industry?
Well, I think everybody takes a piece of the battle, you know, and I have to be very careful because I get very frustrated when I see something like the homosexual agenda just rolling over the country.
Right.
I say, you know, why don't Christians rise up and say, you got to be kidding, you know, stop it. But others will say, well, how come you're not out feeding the poor and helping the homeless?
Right, right.
You know, people have different focuses in their ministry.
Robert, and that's appropriate.
As a prophet type, right. I have to be very careful that I don't, you know, look down on others for not having the same passion I do.
Well, yeah, and it's appropriate. Not everyone could fight every battle in every front. But that's not my point. My point is the Christian community has misinformed the public into thinking that pornography should be legal, that adultery should be legal, that all forms of sexual immorality should be legal, and then we try to regulate it in some way. And once you've legalized...
Well, we must be one of the hardcore groups, because we don't talk like that.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me make a challenge to you. Now, the group that you're the director of is affiliated... It's an affiliate of Concerned Women,
for America, right.
A group that we love dearly and appreciate. You're the director of Culture and Family Institute.
Right.
Could you point to any online document or any press release where you guys have educated people saying pornography should be against the law?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Where?
Go to our website. We've got a number of papers on pornography and how damaging it is.
Well, I'm not asking that. Of course, every Christian in the world, even pagans, know pornography is damaging.
No, a lot of them don't realize that.
Well, some don't,
liberating.
But hundreds of millions do know pornography is dangerous. I'm saying, have you guys educated your members, supporters, the public, that pornography is not only a sin, it's not only dangerous, it's a crime? Could you think of a paper?
I'd have to read Jan LaRue's paper. She's our pornography expert.
All right. I'd like to I'll give $1,000 to your favorite charity if you could call back in, Robert, next week and say, here's where we said that pornography should be a crime.
Hey, that's pretty good.
That is good.
Yeah, that's a reasonable offer.
That's an easy $1,000. And here's my guess. I love you guys, Robert. I hope you don't think that I'm against or upset with you guys. My point is the entire Christian community, the leadership, has completely lost its context. And we're trying to fight sexual immorality symptoms while we have allowed the main foundation to be destroyed without a peep. No Christian leaders say adultery should be recriminalized. None. None. And so,
well,
if
you might have a point. I think what the Christian leaders are doing is addressing the challenges that we're facing right now.
Well, how about a 50% divorce rate?
Symptoms, but right now,
yeah.
For instance, I'm dealing almost entirely with gay marriage. You know
right.
It's a juggernaut aimed right at marriage.
Well, marriage was.
And I've only got so many resources, so I have to concentrate on something.
I understand, Robert, and that's reasonable. But marriage was destroyed when adultery was legalized. So now, if a man
marriage is in better shape than a lot of people think because something like 70% of marriages are still intact.
Well,
the 50% of marriages end in divorce. Those are new marriages. But if you look at the total number of marriages, you know, people
new marriages
celebrating their 40th anniversary. And so add them all up, you come to a fairly high percentage. It's still way too high, the divorce rate.
Well, of course, if new marriages are devastated, you look to see why. And when our government today... If your neighbor is making a concerted effort to your wife and you call him up and you say, you stay out of here, you don't come here, and you're sort of intimidating to him, you know what he could do? He could call the police and get a restraining order on you, and the government will help him by protecting his effort to seduce your wife.
Well, it depends on what you say. If you physically threaten him,
you should be.
That's a form of assault.
Well,
battery is when you actually carry it out and hit the guy.
It's a greater crime when you try to seduce your neighbor's wife. That's a greater crime than threatening to punch somebody who's trying to seduce your neighbor's wife. My point is the government, it protects the right of Americans to seduce their neighbor's wife. And we Christians, we strain at a gnat and we've swallowed a camel.
Well, spoken like a prophet, brother. I'm serious.
Well, thank you.
You know, this problem goes way back. It didn't start overnight.
Well, Robert,
a lot of it, I've been working on uncovering the legacy of Alfred Kinsey, the sex research pioneer.
In fact,
and
you
how
were
he used his bogus sex books to create the idea that science now says that traditional morality is dead, and in fact, even injurious, and that we all ought to just do whatever we feel, and that's much more healthy.
Right.
And
Robert Knight, you were the director of the CWA documentary, The Children of Table 34.
Yeah, I made that at Family Research Council.
Okay, Family Research Council. And thank you so much for doing that. This obvious child sex abuse that goes into the alleged research of Alfred Kinsey, in that our media and our culture has completely embraced.
Oh, it's the animating principle behind sex education.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that children are sexually viable from birth and therefore they're entitled to explicit information.
Mm.
The CECUS, which was formed out of the Kinsey Institute and Planned Parenthood, has been formulating sex ed programs all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Calderon, the founder, said CECUS's mission was, quote, to educate Americans deeply and widely about child sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people were perverts of the worst sort, and yet they designed what kids are getting fed now.
Exactly.
Schools.
So, Robert Knight, we're about out of time. This is a fast-moving half-hour show, but I want to give you a challenge. For as long as Christian leaders are tolerant of adultery and legalized pornography, the secular culture is going to be tolerant of homosexuality and child pornography and obscenity.
Probably, because you got to draw the line, and if you draw the line past where God's line is, then you're right, you've already surrendered some pretty valuable ground.
You got it. Robert Knight, your article is available at worldnetdaily.com. We really appreciate you. And
it's also available at cwfa.org. It's
right
there on the page the minute you sign on.
Well, that's a great point. CWFA, ConcernedWomenForAmerica.org. Right on the homepage.
Yep.
God bless you, Robert Knight. Thanks for fighting the battle.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Really appreciate that. Hope to have Robert Knight back on the show. In fact, we'd like to do a show about his documentary, The Children of Table 34. It's chilling, it's devastating, and you'll want to hear it to know how far we've gone and the criminals that our culture has turned into heroes. Okay. Our Bible study materials are available on a subscription basis. If you enjoy Bob and Yurt Live, if you think that on the air we are fighting the fight in an effective way, well, we can do two things. One, we need your help to stay on the air and on the internet at kgov.com. And you might enjoy our Bible study materials. We've got Bible study albums that go through so much of the Bible. We start out with an overview of the whole Bible, and we look at things like the Law of Moses. You could subscribe for $34.95 a month. We'll send you one album every month. Or go to our website, check us out, or call for a catalog. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.